Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Babe. I'm Laura.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is...
Babe. Starting?
Yeah, we're starting. Okay. Congratulations to us. We're starting our second episode of Babe.
I know. Babe.
This is huge.
Babe. It's huge. I can't believe we're still doing it.
I know. We really have committed and we're doing whatever it takes.
Yeah. To do what?
To just talk to each other.
We're so brave.
Well, I feel like I haven't even really seen you this week.
Yeah. I've been busy.
You've been distant.
Oh, shit. She's referring to this one night, the other night, where she like wanted to come in and have a glass of wine because you sounded lit. You sounded lit, and someone wanted to keep the party going, and I wanted to.
I had gone to an art show, and I had 3 glasses of wine at the art.
You're
opening.
Like, babe, I know when you're calling, you're like, babe, can you just come in for 1 glass of wine? And I'm just like, honey, and I was turning up alone in my own bed.
I know, you were being selfish.
Ready. I was like, I was just ready for bed. I was like, honey, like that
was Ryan
the
was
night.
Drinking in bed, and I was like, can I please just like come over? Can I have 1 glass of wine, please? And he was like, no. And I asked him 4 separate times, like sneakily, and he held up a firm boundary.
I did.
And then I accepted the boundary.
You did.
And then I did put myself down.
Well, like one night... A week, one night quotes.
One night.
One night a week. I get
one night in my life.
I get pretty turnt in bed, and like it, like literally, like it's so hilarious because the song remains the same. I'll end up buying a ton of stuff. Like basically, like what it is, like I need to do things. I need to buy things. I need the courage, the liquid courage to do it. So I bought a Goop candle.
That was also from me telling you about the Goop candle because I was like, honey, did you see the news about the new Goop candle?
I know.
And he was like, no, I didn't. And then he bought it while we were on the phone.
Yeah.
Which is a thing that you love to do to me is like buy really expensive things while we're talking that I want.
Yeah,
like,
but you know what?
You do that
also,
to me all
but also
the time.
Like, I give those to you. I got you the Goop candle.
The Goop candle. It was great. And I will say this about the Goop candle. I need to just take a moment and say that the candle itself does not burn in the way that a candle should burn. It burns poorly, and I hope that someone at Goop will fix this.
It's just a wick
sooner
problem.
Rather than later. It's a big wick problem.
Yeah.
There's a huge wick problem with the Goop candle.
Yeah.
However, it smells incredible.
Yeah.
And she described the scent as like the smell of like air unfurling on the forest floor.
Oh, and sensual quiet. Remember that?
Sensual quiet. And when I went on a camping trip in September, I was up in the High Sierras camping, walking through the forest, and I smelled the exact smell of the Goop candle. I was like, this smells like the Goop candle. She wasn't fucking wrong.
Gwyneth knows
what she's doing.
Gwyneth gets down and dirty.
And if you're wondering if she knows what she's talking about, she does.
She's a serious Scientologist.
She's serious.
Yeah.
The Goop candles are serious business.
No, they're good, but what the fuck is wrong with the wick?
Yeah.
The wick is dangerous.
The wick is actually a fire hazard. Yeah.
I agree.
So anyways,
so I bought
luck
that.
Good luck with your candle.
Well, so I bought that, and then I also, and this is when I bought our trip to New York. I mean, we're staying at the Greenwich Hotel. The Greenwich Hotel is something I've always wanted to stay at. This is very relatable content.
I know.
The content is relatable
because I can't afford any of it.
Yeah.
And so, but then I get to live vicariously through you and then shade you, but then I also get to enjoy
it.
Yeah.
You're coming into the Greenwich. Yeah. No, she's coming to New York.
I'm coming to New York.
Don't feel bad for her. She's flying to New York.
I didn't get a Goop candle on Thursday night, but I did get a trip to New York City. Yeah. So it's all working out.
It all works out. I know. So I've always wanted to the Greenwich. I mean, it's chic. You saw the photos.
Mm-hmm.
There's an indoor pool.
And also there's like a Japanese inspired elevator. element, which you know I love.
Yeah, you do love that. You're like a little Harajuku girl. So then what else? Yeah, so there's an indoor pool. It's, we're going in the winter. I have to do a talk at a college in Staten Island, which I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
I'm excited about it.
It hinges on us having to stay in Staten Island for a night.
Yeah, the first night we're staying at a Holiday Inn in Staten Island. But you know what? No. You know what? It's high and low.
Holiday Inn.
You have to go through the Holiday Inn to get to the Greenwich.
It's okay.
You know what I mean?
I love a high low.
You can't accept
you know
me at my Holiday Inn. You don't accept me at my Greenwich.
Honey, I accept you.
Wait.
If you can't take me at my Holiday Inn, you don't.
Wait. If you can't handle me. Wait. If you can't handle me at my Holiday Inn, you don't deserve me at my Greenwich.
True.
That's what it is, right?
Yeah. I can handle you, at like a tent city in DTLA.
You can.
So it's all good to me.
Yeah, it's all good.
Anyway. So yeah, our only interaction this week was talking on the phone to each other.
Yeah.
From literally we're next door, but we called each other. And yeah. We talked on Thursday night.
Yeah. That happens though. I mean,
ebbs and flows.
Sometimes we need a break.
Our schedules are very different.
They are. We have very different schedules. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are you going to do? But here we are.
C'est la vie.
Yeah, exactly. Carpe diem.
So yeah, on Thursday night, though.
What?
Okay, so I...
What?
I went to a Katy Perry concert last night.
That is a babe.
It was a true babe.
She's a babe.
She is.
Can I tell my story about Katy Perry?
Yeah.
We met her. We met her at Soho House, lol. And she was with Diplo. And we were with our friend Ed. And we sat and had a drink with them. And Katy, bless her heart, she's not a rocket scientist, honey. She's not. She's just a... Someone got an entertainment education. And she was misusing words all night.
Yeah, she misused
right and
word.
Left. And
she called cell reception the reception.
Well, no. Okay, so she uses... Okay, she's misusing words all night, and I'm just, like, obsessed. And she also... Didn't she grab our friend's dick thinking it was Diplo's?
Yeah, at one point in the night, we were with a friend, Nico, and it was, like, he was sitting on one side of her, I think, and Diplo was on the other. And then at one point in the night... She reached down and like grabbed his dick, but she thought that she was like giving an HJ to Diplo, but she was really
that was
just
not
like,
Diplo.
No, was not Diplo.
And it's so obvious. It wasn't like that was not like a common mistake.
But I think she was kind of drunk too.
She I hope she was.
I think she was
sake.
Pretty drunk.
She also did remember when Ty and Clueless bangs her head against the table.
Oh yeah,
She did a headbang.
She did a really. She was like very performative.
She was very performative. So then the peak
and we
of
were
the,
like, wow,
the peak of the night. She had great tits.
She is the best tits I've ever seen.
They're fucking.
They're
amazing.
Phenomenal.
They're real, I think.
I think they
real.
Are.
No, I think they're real.
They have like a really good weight to them.
They look.
She
real.
Truly. I've never seen better boobs than hers.
They're insane. So the peak of the night for me was when she picked took her phone and she waved it in the air and was like, I don't think I'm getting any reception in here. And I was like, well, you're not getting any reception here. It's the Soho House. But like, but also that's not reception.
Yeah. But I think when she misused that word, it was because she was drunk.
But you don't say, I know. But then I would read interviews with her and journalists would make note of her misusing words all the time.
Yeah. She just doesn't know really what's
it's
going
like
on.
To me. She's like the girl who went to liberal arts college as a freshman and just realized that the world is fucked up. Like, literally was like, wait, things are created equal and confused.
Making purposeful pop.
Yeah, exactly. And it's sort of embarrassing. You're seeing her kind of just, like, tumble around trying to make, like, meaningful stuff, but it doesn't work.
And so I used to really not dislike Katy Perry.
Oh, I don't
because
dislike
of,
her.
I just was like, I'm as over it.
She has good pop songs.
But then... This most recent album, Witness, came out.
Bon appetit, baby.
And I took a turn. And I was like, I love this album.
The one album that everyone turned away from. Like, literally, like the one that everyone was like, you were like, yeah.
I was like, yes, this album is incredible. Because
is it really, though?
Okay, here's why I love it. She's like, this is really the most reflective of me and who I am. And it truly is an album written by a person who doesn't know words and, like, doesn't know, like, what anything means. It's like, it was written by a dum-dum. Like, yeah. And it the whole album sounds like that. And there she are just, fun like,
put
songs.
Messages in a bottle.
And yeah, just, like, Swish Swish is a great song, yeah. But it's, like, mostly great because of the Nicki Minaj part, but it is, like, a really fun song. Yeah. And, like, Bon Appetit is, like, fun.
I like it.
And, like, you liked that song before.
And I liked Chain to the Rhythm, too.
Oh, I love Chain to the Rhythm.
Yeah.
But then there's other ones that are just, like, God, you're such an idiot. And I can't believe...
like, Save Draft? Like, one about it?
Save to Draft. But then she has a song called Intimacy or something. And she's like, into me I see. It's like, it's truly, it's written by a dum-dum. And yeah. It's like, I can't believe...
She just seems like a sweet dummy.
She's a sweet dummy. And I can't, part of me can't believe that, like, someone was like, okay, like, put this out into the world. But right. Then part of me is obsessed because I'm just like, I love when people live their truth, even if they're idiots.
Yes.
So... I appreciate the authenticity of this, like, of her terrible idiocy. Album. Yeah.
I love
it. I'm into it. Yeah, I'm here for it. Yeah. And, like, you Revealers. Know what? She has enough money where she can learn. You know what I mean? She could, like, take classes or learn how to be, like, a person.
She needs to, like, take night classes at, like, ITT Tech.
She needs, like, to go to the learning annex.
She needs to, like, literally go to DeVry.
Oh, God. Like. So... I live for Katy Perry's album, and it had been a long-running joke between my other friend, Ryan Rupert, and I to, like, go. We were like, we're going to go to the Witness tour. Like, we joked about it for so long, and it was like...
Does he like Katy Perry?
I made him listen to the album. Like, when we were in Provincetown all together, we took a trip to Provincetown in June, and there was a beach day where Ryan and I went to the beach, and I played him the entire album and made him listen to it, and then we both, like, turned into huge Katy cats.
That is hilarious.
And so we were like, we're gonna be fucking front row on the fucking Witness tour, like, blah, blah, blah. But also, I was like, the only way I'm going to the Witness tour is if I find a ticket lying on the ground, like I'm
in
not,
a gutter. Which, yeah, like we live off of Melrose, so the likelihood of you doing that is high.
Yeah, high. And so life goes by, and months go by, and I really lose track of what Katie's been up to, and I didn't even know that she was, like, on tour right now. And then on Thursday night, I'm at this art opening, having my, like, third glass of wine, and I start talking to this guy that's, like, a mutual friend of our friend Carrie's, and I get introduced to him, and he's like...
Who is he?
This guy, PJ, and he's like, I'm PJ.
PJ who?
I'm not saying his last name on a podcast.
Oh, my God.
Well, babe, I'll tell you offline, okay. But, like, I don't want to,
offline.
Like...
Let me sign off a little bit.
I'm not trying to, like, blow up people's, like, personal info.
Fair enough. Okay.
So we're talking and we're, like, lolling. And then he was like, wait, do you do Justice for Nachos? And I was like, oh, my God, you're PJ. And I knew him because we're both in the Facebook group I started called Justice for Nachos. It's like a nacho appreciation group with, like, over 2,000 members.
It's a great read.
It's like a huge, it's a great read. And so PJ and I had actually been in contact for, like, over a year via this Facebook group of just, like, commenting on each other's posts and, like, supporting our love for nachos. So we're lolling about that. And then we get into a conversation. I'm like, what are you doing after this show is over? And he's like, well, I'm going to go to this concert, see this guy King Cruel. And I was like, oh, I went to go see him on Wednesday, you'll have fun, it's a good show. And he was like, oh, on Wednesday I was at the Katy Perry Witness tour. And I was like, fuck, she played, like, I missed my chance right. to be a witness head. And he was like, oh, she has another night, like, she's playing tomorrow night too. He's like, I work at Golden Voice, like, I'll put your name on the list for, like, two tickets.
No.
And I was like, you're fucking kidding me. And I didn't think that it was real. I truly was like, yeah, right. Like, and then the next day he messaged me and he was like, you're on plus one, two tickets, like, good seats at the Katy Perry Witness tour.
That's it, because you know there was tickets available.
Honey, that was not sold
honey,
out.
Can I get a witness?
So I like texted Whoa. Ryan and I was like, you have to cancel all your plans tonight because we are going to the Witness tour. And I literally, like, psychically made that happen.
That's incredible.
It was incredible. And so we got to, like, really witness Katie's, like, shenanigans.
How was it? How was she?
She can't. I mean, she's a bad singer.
She can't sing.
She can't sing. Yeah. But she has really high production value. So, like, it's a fun concert with, like, cool visuals and cool things happening. Yeah. She can't dance. So she
can't sing or dance.
She runs a lot. She runs from one side of the stage. She'll run into the side of the stage and then run back. She did one cartwheel.
She just does laps. She, like, literally just, like, does laps.
Yeah. She runs and, like, scream sings. And then she has a lot of dancers that do fun dances. And,
but,
like,
she doesn't do anything.
She changes costumes, like, four or five times. times. She doesn't do much.
It's kind of amazing, by the way, that you can get away with just not being able to sing or dance. Because it used to be like in the olden days, if you couldn't sing, you had to dance. Like Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Like you had to do one or the other.
But like, I will say that she the production value is so high that it ends up being really fun.
A good show.
It ends up being a good show. I had a great time.
You know where I want to go? I kind of want to see Pink.
I don't know.
Pink is so dark because she's still really famous. I mean, I don't know how or why, but every song on the radio is by her. Like literally I'll be in an Uber and it's like, oh no, this is like Pink's new number one single. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Then I did some research and apparently her shows are amazing. And she does like Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
What?
I'm like about to faint. After you told me that you want to see Pink.
I would go see
Pink. There are some lines that like...
I would, but I would get like first row. I would like, oh, please, I'm not going to go to a concert like that and get nosebleeds. I would be like first row Pink.
Would you pay money to go see it?
Yeah, I think I would.
This is the darkest confession. Like, I can handle you at a Holiday Inn or like literally in a sleeping bag on the floor, but I can't handle you at your Pink.
What if I trolled you and got you Pink tickets for your birthday?
I would go, but I wouldn't love it. I would probably actually love it.
I think it kind of would be fun because she can sing. And apparently she can do Cirque du Soleil.
Cirque du Soleil?
What?
I think it's pronounced Cirque du Soleil.
Oh.
It's French. Okay.
Cirque du Soleil.
She could do Cirque du Soleil. Your Pink journey, I want you to go see Pink.
No, but like, I'm not really a fan of Pink. I'm just like a fan of her still being here. That's what I'm a fan of.
She's been around.
No, it's like, how is she still here? Babe, she still does like number one hits.
I know.
She's all over the radio.
I don't get it, but.
You're like, how? But also like kind of chic. Good for her.
Good for her. At one point, Katy Perry has a whole bit in the concert where she's like, now we're all going to wish on a shooting star. And she's like, who here has a wish tonight? And then she'll like call a little girl from the audience to like come up to the stage. And so she gets this little girl to come up to the stage that's in a tutu. She's like, you in the tutu. It's like obviously like it was all worked out from like by her people, I'm sure, from the beginning. So this girl comes to the stage and she's like, what is your greatest wish? You have 10,000 people tonight to like... make your wish come true. And the girl was like not nervous at all. And she's like, are you nervous? And she's like, no. And then and Katie's like,
the confidence
not, imagine
of the new
you're not nervous when a huge pop star calls you on the stage. And like, and the girl was just like sitting there shrugging. She's like, so what is your wish? And the girl goes, I want to be a huge Broadway star. And then you could tell like Katy Perry is like, what the fuck? Like, you know, any pop star that has that, like this younger version, like hungry version.
Oh, totally.
Like she just
pushes her off the stage.
Yeah.
So she's like, goodbye.
She's like, what's your name, little girl? And she's like, Bianca. And she's like, all right, everyone, on the count of three, we're all going to say Bianca on Broadway. And like, she like releases a thing that floats up to the ceiling. So everyone had to scream like Bianca on Broadway. And then Bianca was like, thanks. And like walked off. And it was like, I think she actually like cursed Bianca. She did like some secret.
Oh, I'm sure. She did like Sacagawea.
Yeah.
She was like, yeah, no way. Bianca's career is over.
All the wishes in the world. We have 10,000 people tonight here to put their energy towards a wish. It's like world peace or like.
What would you wish?
A
new car.
Yeah. Or win the lottery.
Yeah.
New car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if she
Lara, with a new car? I was like, me.
I know. And then she just, what if she just drove out a new car? It's like, you're getting a new car.
I wish that Bianca had trolled her and been like, she's like, what's your greatest wish? And she's like, for reputation to go number one.
By the way, I listened to it.
I know. I listened to a lot of it.
I kind of love it. I am not mad at it, babe. It's like, there's some good ones.
I like Ready For It.
Ready For It's good. Did you, if you listen to So It Goes, So It Goes is really good.
I just like can't. Her music, it sounds really sinister to me.
Yeah, because you like know who she is.
Yeah, but like I'm just not here for it.
I kind of am here for it. I like the new album.
You and like every other gay guy I know.
It's a good album. I mean, I'm surprised because I just feel like...
Did you like her last album?
Yeah, I love 1989. That was a great... 1989 is a fucking amazing album. It is. Do you like it?
I don't think I've ever listened to it all the way through.
Oh, it's an amazing album. Seriously.
I was just like, I'm never going to buy this. It just so made unless me, like, someone pirates it and like gives it to me, I'm not going to listen to it. You know what I mean?
It just made me think of like how much has changed since like 1989 dropped. Because I was like working on...
You were going to say, just makes me think about how much has changed since 1989. I was like, yeah, a lot has changed.
No, because like that album came out. That album came out and it was like... I was like working on Awkward. It was like 4 years ago.
So much has changed since 1989. It's crazy.
No, I'm just saying. And like I feel like the political climate now is so different. And like no one gives a shit about Taylor Swift. Like literally, like her album came out, and everyone's like, anyways. Like literally,
no,
like,
everyone no cares. One... It's like number one, isn't it?
But like,
it?
Do they really care?
I think the thing about Taylor Swift fans,
she's not getting much. I don't know.
It's like once you're
there's bigger fish to fry.
Once you're a Taylor Swift fan, you're a fan for life. So you become like a Donald Trumper. It's like you're a Trump fan, where it's like she can do no wrong. Her fans will be there and buy her albums and make her like millions and millions of dollars forever because they're just like tied to her.
It's honestly, babe, she's never really had a misstep musically. Like she's always
but like
done pretty
well. Care like
I know who cares.
Who cares?
No, I know, but I mean, who cares about anything?
I mean, I care about some stuff, but I don't like. I'm not like I don't find a lot of like
what
meaning or satisfaction in her music.
No, there's not. Like the one thing I'll say is like. Her lyrics are clever. Like, I like her lyrics.
Her lyrics are awful.
For a pop Ryan, star. For a pop star. For
her
a pop lyrics star.
Are so bad.
For a pop star, they're better than Katy Perry's, honey. I mean, come on.
At least Katy Perry is like bearing her soul. She's like trying to say something. That's what
Taylor is too.
Taylor has run out
Taylor's
of important
smart.
Things
I think
to
Taylor's
say.
Smart.
I don't think she takes any risks. I don't think she's a risk taker.
She totally took a risk. She went from country to pop.
Oh,
and
my
why
God.
Why am I defending her?
This is out of control. Why are you defending her?
I don't know.
You're scaring me, babe.
What if I told you me and Taylor were thin friends? Or just like literally palling around.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to Rhode Island.
You would
this
cut
weekend.
Me out of your life.
I'm going to Rhode Island this weekend.
Have fun. It's like so cold there.
Just kidding. God. Anyway,
you're the babe of the week this week.
Whatever, because I want to
like,
go to a pink
because you
concert.
Like pink.
People need to stop fucking tweeting about my goddamn face.
Oh my God. So we did this. We did a couple test episodes just for my Patreon supporters of Sexy Unique Podcast, just to like see, kind of figure out like what our tone would be,
which is the same.
And
literally,
so,
like, watch us try to get a different tone.
But also, I was like, I wanted people to listen to it, but not necessarily like release podcast episodes right away. So I fed it to like all the Patreon people, which is like an audience of 250 or something. And they like listened and gave us feedback. But Ryan confessed a super dark secret, which I guess you're going to just like confess here and re-traumatize yourself.
Actually, I don't think I'm going to.
Well, now you have to.
Well, okay, fine.
Ryan revealed to me that he doesn't wash his face.
No.
Ever.
But I moisturized every day.
So he would essentially rub lotion onto dirt that's sitting on top of his skin and just rub it all around.
Okay, so anyway.
And then he was confused why like, why his skin wasn't like glowing and like stunningly gorgeous. I was like, babe, because
so
you're
then
not-
I change. I wash my face every day now.
You do?
I wash every day. Yeah, so with a face wash, I do cleanser and then I do two serums, two back to back, and then I do moisturizer.
Your skin looks incredible.
Yeah, it's good. It looks good.
It looks really good. Yeah, it looks smooth.
Yeah.
It looks like. Yeah. It's all
no, it's
like,
great.
Yeah.
But everyone is like so weird and they like tweeted me being like, wash your face. It's
yeah,
like,
because people
so
care
rude.
About, no, that's not rude, babe.
People are being rude.
If someone told you telling.
Hurts my feelings.
You telling me that.
It's my feelings.
Especially after you know what I tried to do for you.
What did you do?
I tried to get you to wash your face years ago when we were living together. Like
I wasn't
3
ready.
Years ago.
I wasn't ready.
Well, babe, that was a cry for help, and it's like also just a normal thing. Like you have to wash your face. There's no option.
Jonathan doesn't wash his face, and he has amazing skin.
Well,
it's fucked up.
One day,
it's fucked up.
One day, he's gonna have to start washing his face.
Not to put him on blast, but it's true.
But does he even moisturize?
Doesn't do anything.
Well, then that's his
nothing.
Journey.
Yeah, well then...
But also, that's not a very smart self-care journey.
I know, but his skin is flawless, and you have to admit it. His skin is actually insane.
His skin is insane.
It's insane. There's, like, there's no... Like, it's just smooth, beautiful skin.
Yeah.
It's fucking wild.
Well, I don't know. That's, like... That doesn't happen for very
long. I know. I know. I know. It's true.
So, like...
He's the minority.
You need to wash your face. Anyways. But anyways, people tweeted at Ryan, and we're like... telling him to wash his face. They're doing it because they're concerned.
Yeah, right. They're concerned trolling is what they're doing.
Yeah, because I asked, was concerned troll. I told people, like, we need to create a hashtag to get run. Because you were like, I don't know that everyone will wash my face. You're trying to troll me. And I was like, don't worry. You'll wash your face.
And I did. And I've been doing it ever since.
So anyways, it worked.
Yeah. It's fine. So stop tweeting at me.
Do they still tweet at you?
Sometimes they do.
Well, then tweet back and tell them I wash my face every day, thanks to Lars Marie.
Whatever.
Be like, you should do a post that's a thank you, Lara, for telling me to
Did
wash.
Did you just refer yourself as Lars Marie?
Yeah, I'm saying you could tweet that.
Okay. I'm like.
I said tweet back at them or like reply to their tweets and then tag me.
Okay.
Because I want followers.
Oh my God, you're right. Anyways, the real reveal.
No, I just want the best for your skin.
Well, it's getting it. Putting enough lotions and potions to like put a down payment on a house at this point.
What do you use? What are your products that you use?
I
now?
Use just whatever my facialist gave me. I use the cleanser that she gave me. I use
it's her all own. Her brand of stuff.
No, it's different. It's like brands that she loves, and then her own serums.
Oh, nice.
So I use her serum, then I use a Vintner's Daughter serum to follow, and then I use moisturizer. It's really good moisturizer.
I love that. Yeah. So you're still not using your La Mer that you had.
I gave it to Claire.
What?
Yeah, I did.
Ryan.
What? She wanted it. I mean, what? She wanted it.
I said I wanted it.
Yeah, but she was in it. I know, just thought of it. I was like, yeah, take it. And then I just like, then I felt, then I remembered that you wanted it and it just felt weird being like, give it back. So I just, it just
literally when Ryan started, La Mer is the moisturizer that Ryan would just rub on his dirty face. And then when he got his new face schedule, he stopped using La Mer. Well,
because my facialist told me to stop using
La Mer. She said that La Mer was bad for him. So I said, please, can I have your La Mer? And he was like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not ready to part with it. Then I tried to steal it when I was at your house.
You did?
Yeah.
When?
Last Saturday night.
And then you couldn't find it?
I couldn't find it. I was really drunk and I was like, I'm just going to take it and then I'll tell him later. And then I couldn't find it anywhere. And I was like, did he hide it? This is weird. And then it turns out that you gave it to someone else.
Yeah.
That is a troll. You know, it's fine because you know what that La Mer has in it?
What?
Just dirt? Particles from your dirty hands and things.
Stop. That's so rude.
Well, anyway.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What else do we want to talk about? I want to talk about Louis C.K.
Oh,
I
mean,
that's
yeah.
That's dark, though. But I want to talk about it.
It's really dark.
No, but I want to talk about it.
Okay.
Okay, so did you read his statement?
Yeah.
His statement, I read it this morning. I was like, people are congratulating him for this? I was like, are you kidding me?
Like, I don't understand.
What the fuck? I was like, he sounds insane.
Part of me is like... I'm happy that he would come forward and say, like, this is true.
He had to, though.
I know.
He had to.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
Or not happy. I'm not happy that any of that is true, but I'm, like, that feels...
I think Kevin Spacey set the bar really low.
Well, everyone set the bar low.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is that's baffling to me is men just don't know how to apologize. Like,
no.
Men do not, like, no one has ever taught men how to apologize.
No, because they're entitled and they're...
It's insane.
Yeah.
Like, I've had to apologize for so many things throughout my life. And, like, learn to take responsibility and like to the point where I'm really good at apologizing now.
Yeah, you
like
are.
I know how to take responsibility for my actions. Yes. I know how to apologize for it. And then I know how to try to change in the future.
Yes.
Am I always like 100% great at it? Changing? No, but I'm trying. And that's the important part.
It is.
And I own my shit.
You do. Yes. But like, it's like
a majority of the like straight men that I've had to interact with over the last like 33 years of living do not know how to apologize. And this recent like being outed as sexual predators and having to like say, figure out something to say for themselves is such a clear example of like, how to not apologize.
I know.
It's and, fucking mind bound.
And Louis C.K. really trolls me hard, though, because he had to apologize because his brand necessitates that he tells the truth. It does. Because he basically has made a career out of being, like, an ally to women, to being, like, the thinking man's comedian, to being, like, a woke feminist, when in reality, I think he did all of that to throw us off his scent. I mean, predators are really smart. They're very conniving. They're very manipulative.
Yeah.
Tig Notaro came out in that Times article being like, I think he allied himself with me to give himself credibility and to like let those sexual assault rumors like be put to bed. It's like, I think he was very strategic. So it's like when people are like, oh my God, like I cannot take the congratulatory, oh my God, good on him.
Because no.
I'm like, no, actually. And also like there was no version in which he could have done anything different. There's no world in which he could have been like, no, I didn't do that.
No, but it's just crazy too. Like when you think about how like society praises like men for things and like demonizes women for another, like it's just insane. Like if a woman had done this and got outed, it would just be like, she's a fucking whore, like she's done, like blah blah blah. Even if she'd come clean and apologized about it, she'd be like fucked for life. But because he does, people are like, oh my God, Louis, so brave,
it's so
like,
brave, ready, oh my God, to give a second chance. Let's like, can't do it. Wait. Good on him. Yeah. Look what he did.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about? This fucking person,
I honestly feel like I'm in an episode of The Twilight Zone. I'm like, why are we even, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? And also, again, of course he has to say these things. He's not a right-wing politician. Of course he has to release a statement in which he admits that he did it. It's the fucking New York Times.
Yeah.
Like, this is real. Like, this is, like this is not just, like, rumor mill. Like, no. This is substantial. Like, this is not just gossip. Like, he was caught red fucking handed. Like, and his whole platform is, I'm a feminist, whatever, whatever. So, of course he has to save face and say that he did it. Of course he did. What is the alternative?
Yeah.
You know?
But also part of me wonders, I'm like, okay, well, this is like, so we had like Harvey Weinstein's apology, which was not an apology. It was like, oh, this was all, he was like, it's weird that these like hundreds of women have come forward saying I raped them, because to me, it was all very consensual. And like, I'll be giving a lot of money to fight the NRA. And that's I'm a warrior for justice. And I'm naming like a foundation after my mother. It was like, you're fucking psychotic. Insane. Like, sit down. Like, goodbye. Like, kill yourself.
Yeah.
And like, that was like the worst, like, I mean, it wasn't an apology, but the worst statement. Then Kevin Spacey like goes through his thing and he's you know what? I don't remember. He's like, it's really weird because I don't remember any of that. But the choice is mine and I'm actually now a proud gay man. So I'm going to live my life. Thank you very much. We're just like, okay, well, that's not an apology either.
It's not.
And like, and fuck you.
Can't pivot. That's you're coming out.
Yeah, like kill yourself. The gays don't want you. Like, no. Fuck off and die, you asshole. Then Louis C.K. is like, it is true. And what's really weird about it is that like, people admired me and I really let them down.
Yes. No, literally, like, that's what it is. People really admire. It's such a narcissistic fucking
life. And it's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck off and die.
People
learn
really
how to not take
me.
Your dick out, and also learn how to say, like, I am sorry that I did this thing that's inappropriate, regardless of whether you're admired or not admired as a person interacting with another person.
Yes.
I'm not going to like fucking pull my pants down and like,
no, and it was so clear when you do that is about power. Like, he's trying to humiliate women.
I know, and
that's humiliating women.
And he's like said that, but it's like, when is it like, what's it going to take? Like, in a few, after like four more high profile people get outed for being like sexual predators, maybe we'll get to like an apology where someone is like, wow, I'm a sexual predator. There's no excuse for what I've done. And now I'm going to fucking kill myself because I like, that's what I deserve. Like,
that's not going to happen.
I know, but we can hope. It's making like teeny baby steps. And then when I read Louis C.K.'s statement, I was like, it's so funny, like the way that because now I'm really aware of is like how I process information as a woman and like how I've been like groomed by society to process information versus how I like truly feel about it. So I read that statement and I was like, fuck you, you fucking piece of shit, like die. And then in my head I was like, well, am I just being a bitch? Like, am I just never, no, truly, I'm like, am I just like the kind of person that's like never truly going to be happy with like any sort of apology? And that's like, that's the other side. It's like, brainwashed.
Yeah.
And it's like, it feels weird to be like a woman right now. It feels good. Like I'm happy to be a woman and I love being a woman.
Piece that Lindy West wrote about like basically about being brave enough to be angry. It's really good. It's a short piece, but how about how women are now brave enough to actually get angry openly and like be like, no.
But that's been such a huge thing. And like even like personally, just for me or whatever, like working in like therapy and stuff, like rage and all that and like confronting like feelings of rage and anger, it's like a huge journey.
Yeah,
but it's just interesting because now it feels like it's happening on like a larger scale, so it makes that journey easier to like go through.
Yeah, I mean, because it's like a united front. It's like there really is a big sea change. And again, like I said this before, maybe I said it last week, where I'm like, this would not be happening if Trump weren't president. This is definitely a direct reaction to him being president. Like, in us just, it's this kind of general feeling of, we're not going to take this anymore. And if we can't change who's in the White House, we're going to take, like, Donald Trump adjacent people down.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, this kind of toxic white male, straight white male energy is not going to stay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I honestly think, like, this wouldn't have happened if, like, Hillary was president. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just think that, like, I think that's the one silver lining I can say about this whole presidency is that it is creating this kind of, the pendulum is swinging the other way because people are just getting so fucking fed up and they're not going to take it anymore. And also, by the way, in terms of sexual assault and rape and reporting it, like we know historically that women are not going to do that because there are so many fucking hurdles from to jump through. And then the end result is them just not being believed anyway.
Yeah.
But now, and people will say this is a double-edged sword, but I always say that the good outweighs the bad. Now you can just, you know, fucking talk to a reporter, go on Twitter, and the court of public opinion is what matters.
Yeah.
No one needs to go to court anymore because it's like, nope, you're like I'm going to talk about this openly.
Well,
like,
that process does not, I mean, not historically, just does nothing.
Does nothing. But now there's another way.
Yeah.
And so now the courts in a way are kind of obsolete. I mean, in terms of dealing with like high profile people,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if it, you know, not all of our rapists can be A-list celebrities, you know, and it's like, obviously, like, but in terms of this sort of level, it's like, it's good. But it's a very interesting time in our culture because so much is kind of burning to the ground in a bad way. But then there's also been this kind of uprising, I think, of women and just this, I don't know, it's fucking cool to see this.
It's cool. At first it was like, it was really triggering, like when the Harvey Weinstein stuff started to like come out and whatever, it was like, for me as like someone who's been through like a sexual assault in my teens and like having to like deal with that, and it was a situation where at the time I didn't even understand that I was like assaulted until like 10 years later, and then I was like, oh my god, like finally put together the pieces of like what had truly happened. So it was like, that's been something that I've had to deal with like in my 30s, like 10 years after the fact, and it's just been very difficult. And then all the Harvey Weinstein stuff coming out, and like it was like re-traumatizing for like that whole experience. And I feel like a lot of women felt the same way, where it was like you're just like exposed to all this news cycle over and over and over, like throwing it in your face. And then now, though, I feel like a renewed sense of hope about a lot of the situations. Like, I feel like it's awful that any woman would have to experience any sort of assault or sexual harassment. Like, it's unacceptable and it's like not okay. But the fact that there is like such a change happening and people are speaking out, and it is hopefully like just going to make it easier. It is changing things.
It is. I mean, it's amazing that so much has changed in just 3 weeks. Yeah. Hollywood is notorious for changing very, very, very slowly.
And like, I think this is the first time that I've seen like rapid movement. Like, it's like, wow, like there really has been like a seismic shift mm-hmm. in like the culture of Hollywood. And I think it will stay. I mean, maybe I'm being optimistic, but it's like, I mean, look at it. It's like a new person is going down each week. It's like crazy. And like, there's no shortage of them. The story, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
I mean, the craziest thing.
This is just one industry.
What was really wild and something that I didn't realize and depressed me at the time, but now has like left me feeling better about the situation was when like the Me Too hashtag started. Uh-huh. I didn't realize like literally every woman, almost every woman I know or have come into contact with has like a Me Too story.
Yeah.
And like at the time that felt like crushing. It just felt like it made me feel so sad because yeah. it's just like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. how the fuck is this happening? But the only good side of that is now hopefully those people who are like doing the Me Tooing will get like exposed.
Yeah.
And like that will create a shift to where children that are growing up now won't ever have to go through that. Or there will be like so many like fewer cases of sexual harassment and sexual assault. And like that generation of like women growing up will feel like they just won't have to suffer through that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and my advice for like men right now, which like they're not taking, is to
just shut the fuck up
and listen.
Yeah.
Listen.
Shut the fuck up.
Listen. Yeah. It's like someone trying to, it's basically like my analogy to it is like, it's like someone trying to explain what living with CP is like to me mm-hmm. when they don't have CP. It's like, do not try to mansplain. Do not try to play devil's advocate. Do not try to play both sides. It's like you, if you have not experienced assault, if you are not a woman, you need to listen. Like, it's just crazy. It's like,
yeah, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up nothing.
And listen. Like, yeah. this is not your experience. Like walk a mile
in
their shoes.
And you don't get to weigh in. You don't get to weigh in on whether or not you think that it happened or not. Like, that's not for you to say.
And what about men with daughters? It's like, would you really see a gray area with Louis C.K. or whoever? Like, if you had a daughter, like, if we did that to your, it's just crazy.
But it doesn't, the daughters thing and, like, men having, like, families, so they understand. It's no. like, great, cool. So you understand, like, basic humanity. Like, okay, you don't need to, like, have a daughter or have a woman in your life to know that it's, like, not right to take your dick out in front of them and, like, masturbate at them.
I know.
Like,
but
what
people
the fuck?
Generally have an inability to understand or empathize with something that has not directly affected them.
That's true.
That is the truly bone-chilling part of humanity, is that unless it's happened to someone directly, people don't have a hard time understanding it.
But you do just have to like listen to other people's stories and like hear where they're coming from and shut the fuck up.
But men aren't good at listening.
Historically. White, straight white men.
Yeah.
I know. Are the most bone-chilling of all.
I know. It's true.
I was like, how am I?
They're the
ultimate bone chillers.
Well, they're the ultimate babe.
They're like, no, they're a true like babe.
It's like,
babe? Ugh. Babe.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like so grossed out by all of them right now.
I know.
I like.
They should be embarrassed.
They should be embarrassed. Like, I don't want to.
It's not a good time to be them right now. And they're like, it's the first time they've ever felt. It's the first time they've ever felt this way. This is like brand new to them. It's like kind of crazy. Like, if you have not been trolled by society because of who you are, I can't really relate to you that much, TBH. I can't. And that's unfortunate. But it's like, as a gay disabled person, like, my lens is so different from their lens. Like, I wasn't born into this world thinking it was meant entirely for me. I can't relate to that. And I don't know.
Someone tweeted something really interesting, which was like, if 40 guys call a woman a hoe, everyone's going to believe him. But if 40 women come forward saying a guy is a rapist, everyone's like, maybe not.
If one man calls a woman a hoe, everyone believes it.
Yeah.
And if 50 women call, then no one, like maybe like four will believe it. It's crazy.
Yeah. So straight white men, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Seriously.
Just shut the fuck up.
Put your phone on silent.
Put your phone on silent and shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And don't get mad. Like, we're not being like rude to say that. It's just a truly good advice. Yeah. Just listen and shut the fuck up.
And believe.
Yeah.
And don't kind of come to this place of like, oh, I don't know. Gray areas. There's levels. Blah, blah, like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Just shut up.
And listen to these
just
stories.
Just shut the fuck
up. Because you have no idea what it feels like to be a girl. That Madonna song.
What song
feels
is
like
that?
To be a girl, Madonna.
I don't know.
What it feels like.
I don't know her.
Please. We're going to see Lady Bird today, and I'm really excited because I love everything teen. I've been obsessed with teenagers forever. I was obsessed with being a teenager when I was like 8. I was obsessed with being a teenager when I was a teenager. I was a really good teenager. If you could get paid for being a teenager, I would have gotten paid definitely 6 figures. And I hear that Lady Bird is really great, and I wish that there were more honest teen shows and teen movies being made.
Interesting.
I was talking to Jenna Lamia last night. We went to the Valley Inn, which is like my fucking favorite place. It's like, have I taken you there?
No, what is it?
Oh, it's like a fucking insane steakhouse in the Valley that is like 80-year-olds.
Yum.
Like Dynasty, like, oh my God, martinis. It's just a fucking trip and a half.
Oh, I love that.
And I was talking to Jenna Lamia, and I was like, what blows my mind about being a teenager and what I think is so interesting is that, can you imagine as a person now in our 30s enduring like an insane fight, a friendship betrayal, any like a big fight with your mom or whatever? Like, that's what you did every day as a teenager. Like you had insane screaming matches with your parents. You had insane, like, you got betrayed by friends every day. You were ousted. Like, imagine that happening today. Like, imagine you backstabbing me. I wouldn't be able to leave bed for like a month. Like, yeah. Literally, like, or like having a really upsetting fight with your parents. I would be like feeling really upset for like a few weeks. I'd be like feeling off. You did that every day as a teenager. Mm-hmm. It's like insane. Like, you endured emotional warfare every day, and you can't
high drama.
Yeah, but like, you can't, our constitution is not like, we can't do that anymore. But it's like interesting how you could do it then, and it was NBD. Like, you would bounce back from insane tragedy and insane drama and be like, anyways, that's for lunch. And like, but if it happened today, you would be like traumatized.
I will though counter you with this.
What?
I think that what? A lot of the trauma and like insane drama that happens in your teens,
yeah,
like you dealt with it every day, but you didn't because it manifests later in life.
Yeah, well, you're definitely living proof of that.
And like, I will say a crazy theory, which is this,
which is like literally your life,
which is literally like, yeah, my life.
Well, you had a really troubled adolescence. I didn't have.
You didn't have.
I
like
had a pretty good one. Yeah, I had a pretty good one. I mean, there was like stuff, but
you
not
were like
really
a run of the mill teen. Yeah, like you
I
had loved, like
I had fun.
You were really emo, but you had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I loved the drama. I loved being a teen. I felt you, like, yeah, I felt like I was in a TV show.
Oh my, you know, God,
it was like insane. Me as a teen was insane. I started drama for fun all the time.
Oh my God, loved, I was like a tortured teenager.
There wasn't much.
I had demons.
Yeah, I should have had demons. I mean, I probably did have demons. I just wasn't aware of it. I mean, I was closeted for a lot of it, but then I had a boyfriend and fell in love. I was truly happy.
Yeah, you were. I like mean like I had really bad demons, and you're like, I was in love and just truly happy. Great.
I was. Well, then you broke up with me, and I was. I, that heartbreak that you have at 17 or 18, your first love breaking up with you, we only dated for 6 months, FYI. But it was like, I lost my virginity to him, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it was, the pain was exquisite. Like, yeah. It was like, unlike anything I've ever felt. I felt like.
I felt my heart breaking.
Literally, like, yeah.
I felt physical pain in my heart.
Yeah.
I didn't even like exclusively date the love of my life in my teen years, and I still got my heart broken, and it hurt so bad.
Yeah, I remember when my boyfriend broke up with me. I forgot. I found out he was like kind of cheating on me sometimes, and I called him teen trash. I was like, "You're nothing but teen trash." And then he pushed me down on someone's lawn.
He pushed you?
Yeah.
Physical.
But only because... Because
you called him trash.
No, and I was also, like, kind of, like, tearing his shirt. I was, like, such a little bitch. I, like, took his shirt and was, like, ripping it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, Ryan.
And we were, like, screaming in the neighborhood.
Fun.
He, like, stormed out of my house, and I chased after him. And I was, like, you're teen trash! You're teen trash!
Oh, my God, I love that.
Good times. But anyway... I'm really excited to see Lady Bird.
Yeah.
And being a teenager is just really fascinating to me. And it's an area that I think will always inspire me. And it's so weird. I like wonder when I'll grow out of it. Because when I think of a new pilot idea or movie, my mind just immediately goes to teenagers over and over again. And I just feel like there hasn't been something done as honestly as like, say, like My So-Called Life. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. You love teens.
I love the teens. All right.
All right. Well,
And teens are a babe.
Teens are a total babe. Yeah. They're the ultimate babes. Yeah,
they are. Like, it's an everyday is a babe.
They have, and I had like a, actually like a really sad thought, and I think we'll just end on this sad thought, which is that like, I will never experience like my soul and my body the way I was when I was a teenager ever again. Like, that's such like a special time in your life.
Well, yeah, because you're experiencing everything for the first time.
I know. And you're just like, you're so like kind of unaware of your body and yourself, and yeah, you're like learning how to like be. And it is such a special time, and it's like kind of a one-time shot.
Yeah.
And like, if hopefully you have like a really good experience like you, but if you didn't have a good experience, then it's hard and you have sadness about it. But we'll get into that later.
Yeah, we'll unpack that later.
We'll unpack it in a future episode, so tune in.
Perfect. All right, guys. Smooch.
Bye.